introduce yourself, Dominic Shattuck, Dr. Dominic Shattuck.
That's right.
And tell us about yourself and what you're doing and what's so cool about sexual and reproductive health.
All right. So my name is Dominic Shattuck, and I'm a community psychologist who does sexual and reproductive health. Rather than talking about sexual and reproductive health in general, this is exciting to me because it is groundbreaking. It is men, and it's important, and it has a huge impact, as a lot of our work kind of has put forth in other formats. My colleague Helen Bristow is in the audience, and she's been working with me on this for the last couple of years. But really, the person who should be here is Leonard Kagabo, and he is the champion of champions for vasectomy in Rwanda. His efforts really spearheaded the success of this project in Rwanda. So we're very excited about presenting these data. Unlike some of the other projects that have been presented, this is not a scientific representative. It's a representative sample of vasectomy clients, but we do not have those who did not receive a vasectomy, and we won't make any kind of statistical conclusions other than providing descriptive statistics today. So, and remember, in this context, it's about couples. In Rwanda, men have to sign a consent, and their partners also have to sign that consent. And this was actually the case in the United States many years back, so it's not really all that bizarre. I don't have any disclosures other than to say I've had a vasectomy. So we'll provide a brief overview, and I'm going to read my slides because I have a lot to say, but if I let myself, I will go way over. So we'll provide a brief overview of the vasectomy scale-up program. We'll describe the impact of that program, suggested messaging that came from our data, and then wrap it up with a couple of conclusions. No good vasectomy presentation is without a picture of a penis, and so my predecessor, David Sokol, has hung many of these in the hallways of FHI, and so we've included here. As you know, vasectomy is male sterilization. And what we're talking about in Rwanda was they had some capacity for vasectomy in the country before that was brought by IntraHealth. But what we're doing in this project was the physicians were trained to provide non-scalpel vasectomy with a thermal cautery and fascial interposition. And this is highly effective, as you can see from the statistics up there, a 0.15% failure rate. Integration of vasectomy among men and women in African countries has not seen wide levels of success. The UN estimates that the prevalence of vasectomy in Africa is less than 0.1%. In Ghana, the Permanent Smile campaign showed gains in uptake over time, but the method never really took hold. Over a 10-year period, I think they delivered about 400 vasectomies. We feel the main challenge for that project and many other efforts was timing. In Rwanda, FHI 360 provided technical assistance to the Ministry of Health. The goal was to increase access to vasectomy service, particularly non-scalpel vasectomy with cautery and fascial interposition. It took place between February 2010 and until December 2012. By December 2012, 64 physicians and 103 nurses were trained, and over 2,500 vasectomies were delivered across 30 districts. We're not going to describe the logistics and promotional activities in this presentation, but at the end I'll show you a website where you can pull down a lot of data and some briefs related to that, and I will talk about it all day. If you want to ask questions. We have informational materials on these websites that I'll show to you afterward. This is a map that represents the number of hospitals in Rwanda with the capacity to deliver NSV with thermal cautery and FI. Rwanda averaged 841 vasectomies over these 3 years. And what's important to note is that in the third year, vasectomy was implemented as part of the routine services. So there were no special promotions in the third year. And you can see that the men were still showing up. So as mentioned earlier, or actually I might mention it later in a later slide, We selected 15 of these hospitals to, randomly selected 15 hospitals to get a representative sample. This cross-sectional descriptive study recruited 316 clients and their wives from using the hospital medical records. Our survey included both closed and open-ended questions, and this presentation will describe responses related to the clients' and wives' perceptions of the barriers to getting a vasectomy and their suggested messages to increase uptake. Participants were identified by first randomly selecting 15 hospitals from around the country, then randomly selecting approximately 20 clients at each site. This graph represents the number of participants from each hospital. Numbers in each hospital varied based on several factors, which I can explain afterward. But at some hospitals, the physicians were trained later on in the project, so they didn't have a robust enough number of clients to select 20 participants. These are the people who get vasectomies in Rwanda.
They're on bathrooms?
Yeah, it's a co-op. So our sample was 316 men and 300 wives. Their average age was 45 for men and 38 for women. They'd been married for quite a while. Most of the women had used family planning previously. And they had big families. And 96% said that they met or exceeded their desired family size. And more than half had a very small child. And if there's motivation for a vasectomy, it's a very small child. So as mentioned in the previous slide, 87% of the women reported using another family planning method before a vasectomy. Those who reported modern methods are listed on the figure to the right. And you can see, like in many African countries, injectables is the predominant method of contraception. Butt pills, and in Rwanda as well, IUDs and implants are picking up speed, and have been picking up speed over the last few years. Oops. To shape vasectomy messaging, it's important to know what has worked. And so the participants informed us that counseling on modern methods is common, and women are counseled more frequently than men. But less than 20% of clients and wives reported having been counseled on permanent methods. They learned about vasectomy through a combination of sources that included radio announcements, which were actually conducted by Leonard Kagabo himself, where he went to villages and got on the local radio, and he had people SMS, text message in their questions, and he would answer those questions. And then the next day he'd be in the clinic training the physicians and providing the vasectomies. The CHWs and healthcare workers provided a lot of this information, as well as their friends and their partners. And as I mentioned before, our other materials have a little bit more information on this. Our previous research in Malawi and India suggests that when couples, particularly men, previous research focused on male involvement in family planning, are able to have an informed conversation about family planning, they're more likely to use a method. They also reported that in this study, our conversation was private. For vasectomy couples, they kept their conversation private. It wasn't something, as I announced today, that I've had a vasectomy. It's not something that a typical Rwandan male would do. And that men typically initiated that conversation. Vasectomy couples reported high levels of communication about vasectomy that was often initiated by men. And this is really important factor to kind of bring home, because these guys wanted to get it. And it's not every guy. This isn't an every guy method, but some of these guys, and it has a big impact. We'll go back to that. The three main reasons for selecting vasectomy were financial limitations. In the initial training of physicians, I was privileged to be part of the interviews with these men. And of course, they were speaking Kenya Rwanda, which I do not speak. And it was getting the translations. And the men were saying things like, and the women, because they were together having this interview, and not the data we're talking about today. And they were saying things like, I can't feed my kids. I have too many kids to put through school. And so you have real financial challenges that having a way in which to limit their family size is relevant, directly relevant. So their desire to limit due to financial limitations as well as and the side effects from other female-controlled hormonal methods were the most commonly reported reasons for selecting to get a vasectomy. Additionally, they like the fact that vasectomy is permanent and it's low risk of complication. In 2010, the 2010 Rwanda DHS reported that 69% of men in Rwanda and 60% of women knew about vasectomy. Participants in this study felt that almost all the people in their community knew about the method. Despite their knowledge, the participants perceived that about half of the people in the community lacked accurate information. And participants reported that rumors, wise objections, and fear of losing their manhood were the main outcomes of inaccurate information. And so what does it mean? What are some of these rumors and misperceptions that they reported? They included vasectomy equals castration. A man will stop wanting to have sex. A man will not ejaculate. A man becomes a woman. Or he becomes fat and lazy. The key message that, well, when we ask them, you know, so what messages should we bring to people to promote vasectomy later on? And they reported things like men will still enjoy sex, just kind of counteracting what they were saying earlier. That provides men with a chance to participate in family planning, kind of appealing to that intrinsic value. There are a few side effects. It's a low-risk procedure. It's not painful. And it's permanent. Oops, and one more. There's a short recovery period. And I think the short recovery period is something that, even though they didn't mention it too much, to me was very impressive. You know, a lot of these men walked two, three, four hours to get their vasectomy. And then turned around and walked 2, 3, 4 hours home to go work. And, you know, the thing is, in the United States, you get a vasectomy and you take the weekend off. You know, you watch college basketball or something like this and sit with a bag of peas. And these guys are not quite doing this. Clients and wives clearly felt that the community gatherings and community health workers would be optimal mechanisms by which to spread information about vasectomy. Utilizing community gatherings may provide opportunities to raise awareness while also dispelling some of the misperceptions at a wider level and provide people that opportunity to talk about the method. In general, the participants suggested that a marketing trifecta be used. That includes your typical messaging processes, group messaging, one-on-one counseling, and then mass media. In conclusion, vasectomy messages should engage couples currently utilizing family planning. These are people who already have made a conscious decision to space children or limit children in some way. And I often, as Helen and I have kind of worked through these documents and journal articles and stuff, sometimes you've got to kind of appeal to that low-hanging fruit and possibly bring them in because of the impact and the permanent nature of vasectomy. Also emphasize that vasectomy does not impact the man's interest in sex or their ability to perform sexually. And sometimes testimonials are critical to this. When I was at one of the trainings, in the beginning, Kagawa holds like this big meeting like this here, you know, gets like 150 community health workers, physicians, they all come from around the district. And, you know, he and I had talked and he knew I had had a vasectomy, so I sat up in the front and I hear him talking and my friend is translating the Kinyarwanda to me. He says, oh, there was one person here who has had a vasectomy already. And I was thinking, oh, he's going to make the big white guy stand up in the middle of this. And thank God there was a man positioned in the middle who stood up. And when he stood up, everybody in the audience, these were all community health workers and physicians, went, and just to see that testimonials really do have a big, and they asked him everything, and he answered very graciously. But it was a very effective tool that those community health workers could go out into the field and talk about with their clients. and also to encourage men to share responsibility for families' reproductive health needs, which is kind of happening more on a global level, and different organizations are promoting this, including FHI. The last slide is this one. This is our favorite slide on the project. So, yeah, sex can stay the same, but for a lot of people it gets better. And this is data that hopefully can get shared back to the community and back to the men in these villages. Shameless self-promotion, again, is if you Google FHI 360 plus progress plus Rwanda, you will get this website where you can find a number of our documentation, documents for whatever, answer any questions, or you can contact me as well.
Great, thank you.